This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, October 25, 2020. The 20th Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
I will extol thee, my God and King, and bless thy name forever and ever. May the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. As we've been going through the Psalter this past liturgical year, I have pointed out time and again that they speak through prayer of who God is, what He does, how He desires us to pray to Him, how we approach Him. This is what the Holy Spirit wants us to learn from these prayers that are the Psalter. 150 different prayers. These words, I will extol thee, my God and King, and bless thy name forever and ever, are the words of Psalm 145. Is a psalm that was chanted today before the first reading. This idea of praising God is, we hear that so much. This is why we come to church, to praise God. Yes, why? Well, for who He is, yes, and what He does. This psalm speaks of praising God for what He does. And it's kind of interesting to see Psalm 145 is the first of the last six psalms. And the last six psalms, the capstone of all these prayers, is directing us to praise God, not just here, not when you go to church, but as the words say, and bless thy name forever and ever. We are going to be eternally praising God for not only who He is, but what He does. And for us, it's going to be what He has done here. This is what we have to appreciate. And we have to appreciate, just like God in His being needs to be worshipped for who He is, not who we make Him up in our minds to be. You know, I'm always throwing out that quippy response that I get from people, particularly when I start broaching the subject of God's justice and righteousness. Well, my God is a loving God. You're exactly correct. You are God. The one that you made up in your own mind, that's called an idol, okay? We don't make up God. We worship the God as He has revealed Himself to us in Scripture for who He is. He is a merciful God. He is gracious to all, but He is also equally justice and righteous. So we have to have both, because if you don't have the justice and righteousness, you don't have God. You do have an idol that's the cosmic teddy bear. He just sits up there and doesn't care what you do. That's not God. That's not God in His being. We cannot do the same thing in what He does. The psalmist, in this particular psalm, let me backtrack a little bit. This psalm is very interesting in the fact that it was always looked upon as the Jews as a psalm historically. If you prayed this psalm, Psalm 145, if you prayed the particular psalm three times a day, you were assured of heaven. You're assured of heaven. A 12th century rabbi commenting on that whole concept, Rabbi David Kimchi, he said, if you pray with your heart accompanying the words, it's not just a matter of saying words. And I got to appreciate that. Okay, coming from a Jew, I'm always talking about practical Catholicism. He was talking about practical Judaism. All right? You can't just say words. Your heart needs to be attuned to those words. You can't just be talking, moving your mouth. That is meaningless. Your heart has to speak these words. They have to understand. They have to appreciate what it is. The Christians took that ball and ran with it. Okay? In the earliest church, communicants, after their baptism, prayed this psalm. And they prayed because of the works of God for bringing them out of darkness into the light of the Catholic Church. And the fact that they were baptized, they got to receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Savior Jesus Christ. So in thanksgiving, they would pray this particular psalm. This is an important psalm about praising God for what He does. What He does. And again, when we get in heaven, we're going to be praising Him for all eternity, forever and ever, as the Psalter says. We're going to be praising Him because of what He has done in this world for us. The psalmist sets a stage on this. He says, "The eyes of all look to Thee, that Thou givest them their food in due season. Thou openest Thy hand. Thou satisfiest the desire of every living thing." That's a very churchy way to say that God does for us. Okay? And we need to appreciate it. God does for us. And you know what? It's not always, because when we think about God does for us, well, that's my good job and my nice house and the food that I have and my health. Those are glorious blessings of the Lord. But our Lord will also do wondrous works in things that might not necessarily be comfortable. Okay? Again, I said it's a churchy way of saying God provides for us. The psalmist puts God's works into two categories. And we need to praise Him for all of them. Not just half of them, the ones we like, but all of them. Two categories. One, Thy wondrous works. Again, we like that part, His wondrous works. The second category is Thy terrible acts. Now, God is sinless, and you know He's God in all His perfection. So when we use you read the word terrible in the Scriptures, we usually think of terrible, we think of bad. Terrible is something that is awe-inspiring, something that gets your undivided attention. Terrible acts. God does both for our good. Like I said, we all like the wondrous acts part. I don't have to talk about that much, okay? The wondrous acts that He does, the wondrous works that He does, that is all our good stuff. You know, name it. All the good things that you have, wondrous works. Even under the umbrella of wondrous works, you have sometimes wondrous works that are not necessarily in the comfort zone. The best analogy I can think about is a doctor's visit. Even if you're going for your annual checkup, what does he do? Blood draw, no fun. Not a huge deal, but no fun. And there are other times you got to go to the doctor, take my word for it, where it is just downright unpleasant. But I stand here before you today as one who endured unpleasantness to save my life. It wasn't pretty. There's a few doctors in here this morning. I didn't see if anybody. Yeah. I love to talk to them in here. I don't like to go to their offices, okay? Doctors got this real particular way of discussing it. If you hear, you're going to feel a little pressure, that means it's going to hurt. If they tell you it's going to hurt, you know you're in for the e-ticket ride on that one. Okay. God works the same way. Because why do we go to the doctor? For our betterment. Like I said, I'm standing here right now because of enduring stuff that was not necessarily pleasant at the time. Okay? There's even still some residual unpleasantness. But guess what? I'm taking an air. Okay? That's a good thing. I guess He determines that. But we have to appreciate that some things that are good for us in this life are not necessarily. So when we talk about God's wondrous works, we're talking about that. What about this other category? His terrible acts. Those folks, God doesn't do anything terrible. Have you ever cracked this book? Like from one end to the other, all right? Little things like the flood that killed every living being on this earth except for 8 people and the animals on the ark. In my book, that's a pretty terrible act. Sodom and Gomorrah, fire comes down from heaven and consumes cities. And it wasn't just those two, there were several others that were consumed with all their inhabitants. Again, my book, terrible act, not to mention little things like the plagues of Egypt, killing of the firstborn, or, as we talked about in adult form a couple weeks ago, when there were a group of people who rebelled against the authority of Moses, and the ground opened up and swallowed them and all their belongings and all their family members. That's God. There are consequences to bucking the system, so to speak. He makes demands on us. If we do not fulfill those, there are consequences. All right? Well, that's the Old Testament stuff. Really? You know, I said last week, don't look at the news. This week, if you do look at the news, what do you see? Earthquakes, storms, tsunamis, pandemics, dare I say. Yeah, I said when this was just on the horizon, when the news stories just started breaking, someone said, this is the earth rebelling because we polluted it. No, it's not. It's God showing his anger at us. Don't pay attention to the billboard on I-4 at Longwood. God's not angry. Yeah, I'd agree. He's furious. He's furious. We live in a world where most countries on the face of this planet, it's legal to kill babies because you want them. All right? He's furious. That's horrendous. Horrendous. Just that one thing. Not to mention society saying that all these heinous evil acts are not only okay, but they're protected under law. He's furious. But it's kind of interesting, after that tirade on his terrible acts, the psalmist says, after he says about his terrible acts, he said, the Lord is just in all his ways and kind in all his works. Well, I can kind of get the just thing. Kind? Yeah, kind. He's kind. The pandemic. Oh, this is so horrible. Yeah, it is. There are a lot of people that are dying. I'm not underscoring. As a matter of fact, I'm saying he's kind in the fact that we deserve so much more. This is a pandemic that's a virus that causes a glorified chest cold that is very detrimental to people who have other conditions. We do not see bodies stacked like cordwood on sidewalks. We do not see funeral pyres everywhere on the horizon. We could. Imagine if he didn't do the pandemic thing and said, here, I think they need a dose of Ebola, a hemorrhagic fever, where we would see those other things, and the death would be horrendous. Okay? He is kind in that he's only doing this, and it is fleeting. It's kind of hard to think about it right now, but think about it this way. A year ago, I would have been having acolytes or ushers coming into out there. There's a guy with a mascot out in church. They would have come to me and said, hey, because it was so weird. All right? And now, it's kind of, you go to some places, it's weird if you don't have a mask on. It's a necessity. But guess what? A year from now, 2 years from now, there might still be one or two people that are, you know, still perturbed over the whole thing that might be. But most people aren't going to wear a mask. You're not going to see them anymore. And people go, oh, remember back in the day? Remember that? People are going to see, you know, kids are going to see pictures. What's that all about? Pandemic. Okay? It's fleeting. God's putting us on notice. This is where his kindness is. He's putting us on notice that, hey, you think this is bad? You think this is bad? How about badness going on for all eternity for you? He's warning us. He does things like this to be kind. It's like you swat your son, daughter on the tail for putting a fork in a light socket. You swat them on the tail because you don't want them to get electrocuted. That little swat on the tail gets their attention. You're supposed to do that. You're a good father. Our perfect Father in heaven does the same thing. He gives us that little swat on the tail to get our attention every now and then to put us on the right path. All right? We cannot be rebellious children. This is why he is kind. So we have to look at these things and understand that it's kind when he does things like this and how he does them. And St. John Vianney says that, I actually pointed this out yesterday in a completely different context that applies today. St. John Vianney said, since man has sinned, the garden, all of his senses rebel against reason. You know, if things are read in Scripture and they're explained properly, you get it. That's reasonable. I can see why God does that now. I can see why his wrath is kindled against us because of all the heinous sins that we commit individually and as a society. I deserve a whole lot worse, God. St. Jose Maria Escriva, the founder of Opus Dei, he actually said, when we get these crosses laid on us, the first thought in our mind ought to be, I deserve a whole lot worse than this, no matter how bad it might be in your life. Our minds rebel, as St. John Vianney says, against the reason of the way God works. The world doesn't get it. You start talking about God's just, that's just an angry God, and I don't want to worship him because he's mean and nasty. And no, for those of us who have the Holy Spirit indwelling us and pay attention to his word and understand what he wants and desires of us, it makes perfect sense. And we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So as we learn things about him, it's like, oh yeah, okay, I get that. That's the way it's supposed to work. But we need to appreciate him for what he does and who he is. Because when we talk about God's justice, you know, justice usually has these very negative connotations. Justice, going to court, getting punished. We get to go to heaven because of God's justice. Because his justice was poured out on his only begotten son that he died on the cross for us to get us into heaven. Because we can't merit our way into heaven. It is by his grace alone that we get into heaven. Now, we live a life commensurate with our faith, but that's not what gets us into heaven. It's the cross of Jesus Christ that gets us into heaven, his shed blood. And because of God's justice, we get to go there because he has promised. All you have to do is come to my son in faith and obedience, have that personal relationship with him where your life is lived in reality is to the faith you speak about. Like the rabbi says, when your heart is conformed to it, we have to appreciate that. It is his justice that we get to go to heaven because he's promised us that. So in all our frailties, we get to the confessional, we have the Eucharist, we're strengthened for this life, we get to go to heaven. I've talked to people before, and it's like you're talking to a German shepherd. They look at you like, when you talk about the free grace of God to get into heaven, no, it can't be that easy. You don't know what I've done in the past. You don't know how bad I've been. It couldn't be that easy. Yeah, it is. Yes, it is. It's very easy because he's just. He's promised, and in his perfections, anybody who desires salvation gets it because he's just. On the other side of that coin, that does not apply to those who don't desire his salvation. This psalmist says in a nutshell, and I hazard a guess that in a lot of places you would be right now, we would hear this. The Lord preserves all who love him. Let us pray. That's not where the sentence ends. The Lord preserves all who love him. But all the wicked he will destroy. Barb, I don't hear that one too often. You should, because that's what the Holy Spirit says. We need to appreciate that, because we want to be on the good side of that whole thing, right? Because you think about all the works of God, all these things that he does, whether they're wondrous works or terrible acts, they are all done out of his mercy, every one of them. The most horrible things that can happen in our lives can direct us to the foot of the cross. Some people, it takes that. And for those of us who it doesn't take a huge, you know, we don't need to be dumped on to get us to the foot of the cross. Every now and then, your witness when you get dumped on is what other people need. And that's how he works. Job, for instance. You know, what did Job do wrong? Nothing. What did Job endure? Because God wanted to prove something. A lot. He doesn't stop. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Above all his other works is mercy, no matter how that may be manifest in our lives. Because when we look at these things that he does, whether we consider them good or bad, we have to sum up everything in the way the psalmist does. And this is the next verse after the Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. The last verse, my mouth will speak the praise of the Lord and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Kind of interesting how that comes immediately after him preserving those who love him and destroying the wicked. This is God. This is what he does. And this is what we're going to praise. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.